Today's mailbag is from Hannah. Dear Lisa, recently my daughter was diagnosed and hospitalized with leukemia. I had to quickly fill out a Medicaid application and needed her detailed medical history for the past year. Much of this was on my chart, but not all. Some urgent care visits were in a different network and not on the MyChart system. Thanks to Lisa, I was able to tell my mother-in-law where to find my daughter's medical binder so she could bring it to the hospital. And within minutes, I had all the paperwork that I needed. Thank you, Lisa, so much for everything.
Do you have an Organize 365 success story? If so, we would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at customerservice@organize365 and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organize 365.
Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. I want to talk today about how we are playing the game of life. And some people say life is not a game, like it's very serious. We need to take it very seriously. You know that I don't really take very much very seriously. I love to find analogies and think about how different everyday things that we observe actually have a much deeper level. So in my schooling, in getting a PhD, I'm allowed to pick any theory I want to write a paper. And so I asked my professor, I said, is the Maslow's hierarchy a theory? And she's like, oh, yes. So I was like, great, I will learn about Maslow's hierarchy of needs because I know Maslow's hierarchy of needs. I know it's a pyramid. I've talked about it before. But I've never studied it at a school level or in academia. And so what I understand of Maslow's hierarchy of needs is that you have these essential needs that need to be met in order to then move on to these higher levels where you can become self-actualized. And I've talked many times on the podcast about how I observed as a homeowner that you could achieve self-actualization in a workplace employment, but it was really hard for myself and others to achieve self-actualization at home because the essential needs of health and security and food and like are constantly running out. And we have to keep working on these lowest levels of needs in our pyramid. And so we don't have the time and the bandwidth to actually, you know, postulate about the future of our lives and realities and why we're here on the planet and what we're uniquely created to do. And so for the last like half a decade, I've been talking about eliminate as much as possible of these weekly things that you do to clean your house and, you know, set a meal schedule or whatever so you don't have to create a brand new meal from scratch every night so that you have more time. Like, get your house organized so you have more time so that you can increase your capacity to do more of what you're uniquely created to do. It's the whole premise of Organize 365. Like, yes, we're an organization company. We teach you how to get organized so that you could do what you're uniquely created to do based on the self-actualization of Maslow's hierarchy. And it's a pyramid. Everywhere I've seen it, it's a pyramid. Organize 365 has it in a pyramid. We actually have the Maslow's hierarchy next to the Organize 365 pyramid. But often, I would share with you that the pyramid works at work. Like, pretty much when you go into a job, you join this company because they seem pretty safe and secure and stable. And the third part of the pyramid is you have a sense of community. Well, within your first 90 days, like these are your people or they're not your people. Like you feel like, all right, yeah, I could be part of this culture. And then you're on the top two levels of the pyramid. And I said, but at home, we're playing chutes and ladders. And we never get to the top of the pyramid because once we climb up the ladder, we finally have all the laundry done and the home is organized and we get everything. Then someone gets sick or you get sick and then you slide down the slide back to the bottom. Okay, got to get all the laundry done, have to get all the groceries. Okay, and then school's closed for a week or whatever. Like you hit all these life events and then you slide back down the slide. And so we play on these bottom three rungs of the pyramid at home and very rarely get to the top two where we can get to self-actualization because there's just so much work to do. And instead of just climbing the pyramid and going down one rung, we take the chutes and ladders and we slide all the way back to the very, very bottom of the pyramid and we start climbing up again. I am not very far in my research, but in the first book I'm listening to about Maslow's hierarchy, let me just blow your mind. Maslow did not make a pyramid. Yeah. It was a marketing company, a coaching company in the 80s that turned Maslow's hierarchy into a pyramid after he died to sell coaching. And now we only know Maslow's hierarchy in a pyramid. He actually said it was a continual going up and down and up and down in these different levels. I was like, you should have heard me in my car when I was listening to my audiobook. I was like, oh my gosh, I was right. It's like, my chutes and ladders analogy is actually what Maslow meant. I was like, I can't wait to learn more. I wonder what else I've been talking about on the podcast was actually in his teachings when I finally can read his teachings. And I think that this is just so true. What we are doing at home, and even if, as I start to do the research and, you know, I'm looking at the research for how we live at home, how we function at home, the different phases of life at home, there's not a lot of research about it. There's not. Childhood, yes. 0 to 21, I mean, research like you would not believe. But how we actually use our homes, function at home, there's not a lot of research. And it's not really surprising that Maslow's hierarchy, which is about a person becoming self-actualized, was totally taken over by business coaches and moved right into businesses. And it is totally flourishing over there because there just are not that many people that are focused on the experience of humans in their dwelling at home. Like, there just aren't. And so whenever you can get in any kind of institution, a school, a workplace, there's going to be a lot of research because there are a lot of people having a common lived experience. And you can do research in that environment. You can do observations in that environment. You can live in that environment and you could see, and other people can observe you in those environments because they're public environments and there's just a lot more there. But then when you look at home, like our lived experience at home, which is ever changing, it's not really well researched in academia. It's really only looked at from companies for marketing purposes. There's just not a lot of shared experience. That's why I think when we find podcasts or we find books or we find other people talking about what it's like for, especially for our race, ethnicity, gender, and generation to experience something at home, then you're like, oh my gosh, you're me. Like, I definitely resonate most with women between 35 and 55 because they're like, nobody's talking about this. You know, I'm going to segue into the Gen X thing, right? So Gen X is such a small generation that we were only the most populous generation in the workforce for 2.5 years, and that time has already passed. Nobody cares about us. So when I say something and you are Gen X or close to the Gen X generation, you're like, oh my gosh, that's exactly what I thought, because the only media messages you hear are from baby boomers and millennials. And they actually skip over Gen X sometimes in media when they're talking about generations. Like, they literally have the generations listed, I'll never forget, and they skipped the whole Gen X category as if we didn't exist. I'm like, not surprised. None of us are surprised. So when I talk about playing the game of life, Maslow's hierarchy and the chutes and ladders, like, I've talked about chutes and ladders before. And now that I'm 50, if you're not 50, you don't know what it's like to be 50. If you're not 40, you don't know what it's like to be 40. Just like Marie Kondo couldn't have possibly known what it was going to be like to raise 3 children until she had 3 children. And now that she has 3 children, she goes, shocker, my house is not always clean or organized. And every single person who has three children or two children or sometimes one children is like, yeah, wait till Marie has kids. Wait till Marie has kids. Guess what? Marie has kids. And she said exactly what you already knew. You can't keep your house like a museum. We're not surprised. So the older you are, the more perspective you have on the previous decades that you've already lived through. Not that you actually had those experiences, but you might have observed your family and friends who had those experiences. And also you just live longer. So you just have more. And the older you get, the more perspective you have because the more lived experience you have and the less in the fishbowl you are. So if I look back on my life in my 20s and 30s, once I left my childhood bedroom home, I was definitely playing the game of checkers. And I was playing the game of checkers because I was just trying to figure out, how do I get more time? How do I get more time? How do I get more time? The best way I could get more time in my 20s and 30s was by making as orchestrated of a list the night before as possible so I could just check it off the next day to get through as many tasks as humanly possible. But I never actually got my to-do list finished because there was just so much to do. Because in my 20s and 30s, I had kids. So if you have children, if you opt to have children, you should just know you're never going to get your to-do list done. The only way to get your to-do list done is for those children to become adults and not live with you anymore. And then you still have a lot of things on your to-do list, but you actually could get it done in one day. And then you just have a new to-do list. Or to not have children. And people who do not have children think, yeah, well, it cannot really be everything that the people who have children say it is. It is. It is. It's never ending. Like, once you decide to be a parent, you have decided you will never not have a to-do list. It's just a thing. And if you have not had that experience, you can't know. There are a lot of experiences I can't know. I can't know what it's like to have been through a divorce, to have had a cancer diagnosis, to have experienced, like, there are a lot of things I don't know. I do know what it's like to be a parent. I do know what it's like to run a business. I do know what it's like to care for someone as power of healthcare. I do know what it's like to settle an estate. I do know what it's like to sell a family home, plan a funeral. I have experiences of all those things, but there are things that I don't have experiences of that I can't possibly know. And so I just want to say to all of you who have a human living with you that is below the age of 18, that somehow found its way into your home and is a blessing and also a to-do list creator, you will probably never have your to-do list done until you are an empty nester, which actually isn't even a thing. So in my 20s and 30s, I had kids. And so I was never getting my to-do list all the way done, which was fine. And I was playing checkers. So I would try to task stack and just have one errand day. And once I learned the errand day, it was almost like I could get my checkers to the other side of the board. And I'd be like, king me, baby. So you get the double checker. And I'd be like, great, I have an errand day. So now I'm moving this double checker around the board. Or I'd get another checker to the end of the board. And I'm like, king me, baby. All right, now I'm going to hire a nanny to watch the kids all day on Wednesdays. Now I've got a whole day to play with. And the best I could do was get some of my checkers to be double checkers and then orchestrate the night before my to-do list. And then eventually, once I had the Sunday basket, orchestrate my week to where I could organize the pieces on the board where I could get kinged and then I could do a double or triple jump. And oh my goodness, I could get so much done in a day. It was amazing. It was amazing. Get so much done. And then we do it all over again the next day. It's kind of like Groundhog Day. You're like, okay, and now we're going to do it all over again. Because, I mean, it takes a long time to grow humans. Like, little babies become toddlers, become school age, become middle school, become high school. And it's just checkers. Like, you're just playing checkers. All right, how do I get a little bit more organized? How do I habit stack in this phase of life? How do I get organized enough the night before so I can make a couple of double or triple jumps tomorrow, which will move us forward faster? But you're not going to be done. You're not going to get done. So that's parenting. Sorry to tell you, that is parenting. There's no way to speed it up. There's no way to work ahead. Like, humans mature at the level that humans mature. And the unexpected events, some of them can become expected. You could start to recognize that, oh, Every December, every May, and every August are the busiest months of the year, so I'm going to stop putting anything extra in those months, and also I'm going to start preparing for those months in April and July and November so that when I experience those months, they go easier for me. But it's not like they're not going to happen. So I could do the back-to-school blitz when we're going into school for August. I could do the holiday blitz in November when we're going into the holidays. I could do the routines blitz and do planning day in the spring when I'm going into May in the summer. Like, I could set up these structures and these organizing things that I'm going to do earlier, but I'm still going to need to live through graduation, wedding, Mother's Day season. I'm still going to need to live through going back to school, all the doctor's appointments, orientation, new school book season. I'm still going to have to live through it. I could do it as organized as possible, but it is not something I could check off my list or say I'm not going to do. I'm going to actually do it. Now, once I moved into my 30s and had my Sunday basket established and my kids were school age, I think we have to put those things together. Like, when you have babies at home, like, it's just like, if it's my job to watch Grayson, our little baby grandson, the only thing I could do when watching Grayson is organize his toys and get rid of toys that he has outgrown while I am playing with him, or listen to a podcast. Like, I always have my AirPod in and I'm listening to a podcast when we're going on a walk and stuff. Like, but that's it. Like, I can't also, and I could do the dishes because he loves the dishwasher. If I'm doing the dishes, he will let me put him down. If I stand up, he wants to be held by me because I'm not around that much. But if I'm on the floor playing with him, he'll walk away. So my choices when I'm around my grandson is to hold him, to play with him, to do the dishes, and occasionally I can listen to a podcast. That's it. That's parenting. That's childcare. Like, you cannot really multitask it very well, especially when they're little and they put everything in their mouth. And he's to the stage where now he knows he's not supposed to put stuff in his mouth, but also he knows that I will dive across half of a room if he puts something in his mouth. So he looks at me, he looks at the floor, he picks up something, he puts it in his mouth. He's like, how fast can Lovey move? And I can move pretty fast to try to get something out of his mouth. Yeah. I'm not going to tell you that story. Okay. So I'll move pretty fast to get whatever it is out of his mouth. You just have to play checkers. If you have kids, you're playing checkers. And you could get really good at getting king me and doing the double jump. And it's great. And I love it. And I wouldn't have given up those years for anything. And I am so glad that we expanded our family and that I have children and grandchildren. And like, I love every bit of it. But you're playing a game of checkers because that's how much capacity you have. And then in my 30s and 40s, I started playing the game of chess. Now, I don't really know how to play chess. I like to organize the pieces. But chess is a completely different game than checkers. It's a completely different game than checkers. There is some strategy in checkers, but there is a lot of strategy in chess. Like, you can spend your whole life playing chess and still learn more strategy. Chess is about productivity. Chess is about increased capacity. Chess is aspirational. And checkers is survival. You can get good. Your survival can look so good that people don't think you're surviving anymore. But one good illness, and all of a sudden you're back to, you're totally right on the cusp of survival. Chess is when you've moved out of survival and you're into productivity and you're into strategy. You could play checkers your entire life. And you could play checkers until the point where you are an empty nester or you're in your 50s and 60s. And you're like, you know what? I really like this. So I'm just going to keep playing checkers. And I am going to have shorter to-do lists. And I'm going to go on vacation. I'm going to do whatever it is you're going to do. But chess is something you can also choose to play. And chess is more about impact and where your life is going ultimately that is not just day to day. Chess is a 120-day and a 1-year, 5-year, 10-year time horizon. Checkers is a 1-day, 7-day time horizon. What do I need to get done tomorrow? What do I need to get done this week? What do I need to get done tomorrow? What do I need to get done this week? And I know there's a difference. And I know the thing that makes a difference are these silly little blitzes that Organize 365 does. The back to school blitz, the holiday blitz, the routine blitz. These blitzes change your paradigm of time in such a way that you cannot unchange it. And they're totally free. And I know this is true because so many of you have gone through the blitzes and you have told me, and you've said on the Wednesday podcast interviews, that now you're annoyed with your friends who haven't. Because when you are in the checkers mentality and you're just looking at what do I need to get done today and what do I need to get done this week, back to school and the December holidays surprise you every single year. Like, it's not an accident that Dave Ramsey constantly makes the joke that Christmas happens in December every year, but yet it surprises all of us every year. I mean, I don't know how it surprises us every year, but it surprises me, surprises everybody every year. Back to school happens every year. Mother's Day happens every year. Everything happens every single year. And every single year we're like, next year I'm going to be ready for taxes when taxes come. Because it's cyclical. Life is just cyclical. We go through these same things over and over and over and over again. And the difference between checkers and chess is in chess, you go, okay, in the next 4 months, so right now, in the next 4 months, I am going to be experiencing Mother's Day. I'm going to be experiencing Memorial Day. I'm going to be experiencing the summer season. Okay, these things are happening. Have you planned, if you have children, for their summer experiences? Because if you don't plan for your child's summer camp experiences in March, your child will not be attending camp in the summer. If you don't think to schedule camp until April or May, the camps are full because there's not enough capacity for the amount of children that would like to go to camp. And so you have to be thinking. You have to be forward thinking. Like, we go to Florida at the end of July every year. I am buying plane tickets right now because there are not enough plane tickets for everyone to get to Florida, and I'm not driving again. So I will be buying plane tickets in March for a trip that we're taking at the end of July. And if you're not thinking that far ahead, you get to Memorial Day and you're like, we're going into summer, we go to the beach. I forgot to get the plane tickets. Or more recently, the plane tickets haven't been the problem. It's the rental cars. There aren't enough rental cars in Orlando, in case you didn't know. So did you make the rental car reservation? Because if you didn't, there are no minivans to rent. And it will cost you a fortune because of supply chain. And that's what we're going to get into next week. I'm going to be talking to you about how your home is a business. And supply chain is a real thing. And we need to really start thinking like business owners when we think about the supply chain of things in our house. Because supply chain really is impacting your home life. It's impacting your home life. And so this idea of chess is that you are going to productively strategize for a longer period of time so that you're still going to have to play chess and you're still going to have to play checkers every day and every week because your to-do list is not going away. Your Sunday basket has to be done every week. But planning the next 120 days of your life is a chess mentality. It's like, okay, so instead of looking at what resources I have in time and money this week, I'm going to look at the resources that we have in time and money over the next 120 days. And you may say, why do you keep saying 120 days? It's such a weird number. It totally is a weird number. Absolutely. I agree with you. Everyone else you'll hear, they will say 90-day increments because that's quarters and that's businesses are run on quarters. It totally makes sense for businesses. Businesses have quarters. They do January, February, March, April, May, June. They do quarters. Quarters make absolutely no sense in the American home. Because what are you doing that is different on March 31st than April 1st? Nothing. You're still in Ohio. You're still like, it still could snow. Like there's nothing different between March and April. Nothing different in the school calendar. Nothing really different in the work calendar. Nothing different in the patterns of cars that are driving down the road or the clothes that you're wearing in your closet. Like nothing's different between March and April. Okay, so then what is different between June 30th and July 1st? Nothing. You're in the dead smack middle of summer. Like July is a Bermuda Triangle month. It doesn't matter if it's June 20th or July 7th or whatever, like it's all summer. This is all just summer. Okay. What about the end of September, beginning of October? What is different in your home calendar, end of September, beginning of October? Nothing, absolutely nothing. Fall starts at home on Labor Day. So from Labor Day all the way until the December holidays, that's one season at home. Like there's no differentiator. The only quarterly break that makes any sense whatsoever for a homemaker is December 31st and January 1st. And still, that's the week that everybody's off school and work anyway. So it's not really that day. It's more like January 6th or 9th when school and work actually really get back into the swing of things and you have to stop, you know, like talking for 2 hours over donuts in the morning. You're like, all right, I guess we got to get back to the regular work of work or school of school. And everybody's filled in on everything that they did in December. So these arbitrary quarterly deadlines that work really, really well in work have no framework at home. Because they have no framework at home, you can easily miss them. And if there's anything that you needed to do, like change your smoke detector batteries every quarter, you would miss it all the time because there's nothing like that really reminds you to do it. And at home, even if you don't have children, this is actually true, you think in trimesters. And definitely that week between Christmas and New Year's, whether you celebrate Christmas or not, it's that the last week of the calendar year is a huge reset for everyone. Like everyone declutters something and organizes something over those couple of weeks. And they set new intentions for the new year. And, you know, like you definitely have a time where you're like, okay, all right, this is what I'm going to do for the new year. Very few people, myself included, actually mean the whole new year. What they mean is like the first couple months of the new year. Like, this is what I think I'm going to do the first couple months of the new year. They don't actually think that the next December they're going to evaluate themselves on these New Year's resolution. There are a handful of people. They all have books and podcasts. You can find them. But most people were like, okay, I'd like to be a little healthier. I'd like to be a little bit better with my money. I'd like to be a little bit more organized. These are the top things that you think about at that time. And you declutter quite a bit and you organize something. And then you get going in winter. So January, February, March, April, this is winter. It's even winter in Florida until you get to spring break. And then it's just winter with outside guests. It's not really summer yet. You may have different temperatures in what you call winter, but it's still like the winter seasons. This is when if you're going to have a fire in the fireplace, you're going to put a fire in the fireplace. And winter is a season and it's a great, productive, it's a quiet season. There's not a lot of media in this season. There's not a lot of sports in this season. Yeah, there's the Super Bowl, but it's not like all the kids are doing all the things. It's a quieter season. And then you get to May. And May is actually the start of summer. So that's the next 120 days. Because May is crazy and chaotic. So many things are ending and starting and beginning and registering and like celebrating. And all these things happen in May. And then you go into summer, June, July, and August. So May, June, July, and August. This is your summer cadence. If you do not have children, your summer is definitely more like Memorial Day to Labor Day. It's just a 3-month stint. But if you have children, I like to couple this May into June, July, August because it's a very unproductive month. It's a very unproductive month. It is the ending of school. It's the celebrating. It's the graduations. It's a lot of socialization and camaraderie, just like December was, only you're supposed to be working and doing schoolwork during this time. So we're kind of like tricking ourselves. And then you have the summer. And then August is when we prepare for the fall. And the fall is September, October, November, December. Fall is magical. Oh my goodness. When Labor Day happens in the United States, it starts the most productive 10 weeks of the entire calendar year. It is glorious. Like we get so much done in those 10 weeks, as much as we get done almost in the entire rest of the year. And the way that you organize your home is different in each of these 120-day chunks. So these 120-day chunks each require a completely different level of planning. You eat different foods in these 3 different times of year. You usually wear different clothes. The traffic patterns in your city are different in these 3 times of the year. You know that how long it takes you to get places is different in July, in November, and in February. because in July, we have no school buses. In November, we have additional traffic for people who are shopping for the holidays. And in February, we have like just regular cadence, like however long it takes you to get somewhere in February, from February 1st to February 28th, is pretty much going to be the same the entire month. But how long it takes you to get to that place between the middle of November to the end of December depends on where you are in the holiday shopping and merriment season. Like, all of these things impact us at home, but we never stop and realize it. That is playing chess. When you realize that there are different energies and there are different confounds in how you get your to-do list done that are outside of your control based on the season that the world is in, it's just a totally different level of thinking. This is why when we do the holiday blitz and I tell you to go to all of the grocery stores the second week in November and buy everything that you need through the end of the calendar year, you come back to me in January and you go, oh my goodness, you saved me 20 hours. Yeah, because you didn't keep running to stores. You had all the paper plates, you need, like any paper products, vitamins, all that. You bought all that. You only had to go to the store for perishables. You save like half a lifetime by doing it that way because you consciously thought at the beginning of November, what are all of the things I need to do in the next 8 weeks? You weren't thinking week by week by week. Oh my gosh, I have to send out Christmas cards. Oh my gosh, I have to get ready for this party. Oh my gosh, I have to, like, you're not living reactively anymore. You're living proactively. And it is so freeing. I'm so used to playing chess instead of checkers and picturing what my next 120 days are going to look like. And then you have to play checkers. Everybody's playing checkers. You're playing both games when you play chess. So you're playing checkers in your everyday life and you're king me and I got to do the double jumps and you're so excited. But when you're playing chess also, and you're looking at the larger time horizon, when the pandemic happened and I was doing, planning day, which we were doing planning day all the way back in 2020. Planning day is something that you can do three times a year with Organize 365, where I take you through a 4-hour orchestrated live event, and there is a replay, where I take you through like, okay, let's really think about the next 4 months and all of the things that are going to happen in the next 4 months and how we could play chess so that you could go down to play checkers. And so the pandemic had started and we were doing planning day, which is always the first week in May. It's on a Saturday and we were doing planning day. And I had proactively looked at the next 120 days and having been a homeowner for, you know, decades and having raised kids and being so child focused and being very up on the media and what was happening in the media, I shared in that planning day, I said, okay, so we don't know what's happening with the pandemic because it's only May. We just know that we were all actually locked in our homes at that point. I said, all right, here's what we know. We know that we know nothing. And we're not in control of hardly anything. At that point in the pandemic, people were not saying, I'm going to do what I want to do. We were all listening to every authority because we were scared. And we said, we are so out of control. It was the most out of control everyone has ever felt collectively at the same time. And what I said in that planning day, I said two things. I said, number one, you are in control of your house. I want you to start using your house how it needs to function instead of how it was designed. You can always move furniture back later. So if we're going to do school through the end of the year, I want you to establish a schoolroom, whatever that schoolroom is going to be, and actually move all of the stuff in there, rearrange the furniture in your house for how it is functioning. And when the pandemic's over, you can move the furniture back. So that was very freeing, allowing people to like just turn the dining room table into a schoolroom, actually move a bookshelf in there, put the book bags in there, like actually make it run like a schoolroom. Okay. If you're working from home, let's actually get a desk. Let's actually get a chair. Let's designate a table. Let's set up a second monitor. Let's hook up the printer. Let's not pretend we're going back to work on Monday. Let's just make it an office. When you go back to the office, you can undo it. You can put your house back the way it was. Everyone needed a designated social area and everyone needed a designated work and school area. And so I had everybody create one. That was number one. The second thing I said was, because I just happen to have this ability to think more into the future, I said, summer is coming and we are planning for summer. And here's what I want to tell you. The supply chain is non-existent. So we are all at home, which means the truckers are all at home, which means anything that was going to get to the store for summer is not going to get to the store for summer. And so whatever they already have at the store is the inventory they are going to have. And they are going to run out because their inventory is not at the store that they were expecting for summer. And more people are going to be stuck at home this summer. I said, even best case scenario, the pandemic order gets lifted and we go back to our regular life. Not everyone is going to want to go back to their regular life immediately. And so you should hope that we're going to have the summer that you're used to having, but plan to have a summer where you're stuck at home. And I said, so if you're going to plan to have a summer where you are stuck at home, which means your kids are not going to camp and they are not going to the pool and they're not going to any of these things. And by the way, this is before they said the pools would be closed. You need to remember that. I'm saying this in planning day. I said, my husband would never let me have an above ground pool at our house. It would ruin the grass, yada, yada, yada. I said, if I had school age kids, I would be buying an above ground pool and I would tell my husband, we will replant the grass when the pandemic is over in 2 years. I'm not having a summer without a pool. I would be buying a pool. I would be buying a trampoline. This is the amount of money that I would be spending on camp anyway. And we are going to have camp at home. During that planning day, we had women at the break sending their spouses to the store and buying trampolines. And they said at the end of planning day, the trampolines in their city were sold out already. I said, you need to have big things for your kids to do. And you need to have novelty. Because even if you get a couple big things, we get bored in summer. So you need to go buy like all the little things that kids can put on bikes. You need to go buy more games. You need to buy, like, if your kids like games, you need to buy 13 and there's a new game every single week. If your kids like me, like puzzles, you need to go buy like 30 puzzles because you don't want to do the same puzzle over and over and over again. And obviously you can't always do these things if you don't have the money to do these things, but that is a secondary issue. Not doing things because you don't have the cash flow in your company, which we'll talk about next week, to do something is a legitimate constraint. Not doing something because you did not realize you should have done it, and so you lost the opportunity to even use your cash flow in that way, is a different issue. And that's what I'm talking about today. Playing the game of chess and checkers simultaneously. You don't get out of a to-do list. You don't get out of your daily task, your weekly task, the cadence, the Sunday basket, the living of your life, the unexpected that's going to happen. That is checkers. Everyone is playing checkers. But if you want to have less stress, be more proactive, not find yourself wishing you would have done something yesterday, that is the game of chess. And the only way to play the game of chess is to do planning. I plan obsessively. I run 7 planning days a year because I do 7 planning days a year. And that was what I finally realized was the secret of my success. Not that I was able to orchestrate a better to-do list. Not that I was able to run my Sunday basket better. But that I was running my Sunday basket and my to-do list based on my longer time horizon of what my family was going to need over the next multiple months, not even just 1 or 2 months, but the next season. And I would naturally have these days where I would look at like, okay, and I would always do this one. I would always do the planning day for the fall on our trip in Florida. So in Florida, there'd be one day where Greg would like everybody be out at the beach and I would just journal and I would write and I'd be like, okay, so this fall and when we go back to school, this is what we're going to do. And I was just naturally doing this. Productive people naturally do this. I don't know why we naturally do this. It's just something that is harder to teach. And it is the cadence and the horizon of the time frame that we look at. Like, I know the cadence of life. I know what's coming next. And then I proactively plan just a little bit more than other people do and a little bit earlier. Again, because we go to Florida the end of July, I would be in Florida, and I'm a busybody. I get bored, like the beach, whatever. I don't even go to it. I go to the pool. I'm just not a good vacationer. I'm a great trip person. Take me anywhere historical, I'll go to every single historical thing. But like just to sit on a beach, like I could do it for like 2, maybe 3 days, but we're at the beach for 7 days. So because we're at the beach for 7 days, every single year, I would take a day also, and I would take the kids to the mall. I would drive out. We would go to the mall away from the beach. And I would take each kid separately and I would buy their clothes for the next school year. I would buy their shoes. I would figure out what they wanted or what sizes they were. So when we got home, I would be ready more for school. I would refill all their prescriptions. I would make all their doctor's appointments. Like I did all this stuff from the beach because these were things that I could do from the beach that I couldn't do at home. And that is how I created the back to school blitz. All of the things that I figured out that you can do in the month of July that set you up for an easier August and September. When I was back to being a teacher, it was then that I realized I really had to plan for my December holidays over the Columbus Day weekend that we got and the election weekend that we got. I needed to get everything possible for the holidays done that early because there really was no other time for me to get ahead of the Thanksgiving and the December holidays. So I created the Holiday Blitz from this natural cadence that I did of playing this game of chess versus checkers. Those are two activities. Everybody's going to get ready for the school year. And by ready for the school year now, I don't have any kids, but I still do it for myself. I still have annual doctor's appointments. I still need new shoes. I still need to get my eyes checked. Everything that you do for kids going back to school, you should do for yourself also annually. So back to school blitz is for all humans. It's just when school starts is how I do the cadence of that one. The holiday blitz is for all humans. Those are ones, and they're free, that you can do where you're like, oh, wow, that is totally different. I've experienced the holidays my entire life. I've made checklists my entire life. I've even designated categories in my Sunday basket for a period of time. I have been playing checkers for November and December my entire life, but when I do the holiday blitz, I play chess at the end of the year. And when you're playing chess and you're playing the strategy and you mentally play the game all the way out, you get to enjoy the holidays because you've done all the mental work before you got into the checkers game, and the checkers game just goes so much easier. That's what planning day does. That's what these three home-based planning days do for your home and the four workbox planning days do for your work. I mean, I don't know how to explain it even more about what these planning days are. We go through your morning, afternoon, evening routines in the household planning day. We go through your beginning of day, lunchtime, and end of day routines in the workbox one. In the workbox one, we talk about all of your repetitive administrative tasks that everybody has in every single job. That's green. We talk about meetings and professional development and your growth and your management. That's blue. We talk about the projects and the rocks that are going to get done in this quarter. That's purple. We talk about all the ideas and the research and the marketing and the things that are coming next. That's pink. Like we talk through all of those things from a higher level strategy perspective. And so many people that come to Workbox Planning Day work in huge companies or huge institutions or universities or hospital settings. Like they are not the CEO. Like they are a pawn in the game of chess, but they are taking ownership of everything that they can in their own work so that, yes, they still have to do their administrative tasks. They still have to play checkers for the role that they have, but they're also playing chess. And then they're looking at the long range of like, okay, yes, this is everything I need to do. And if I do it in this order, king me, baby. I'm going to get a double or triple jump. And also, these are the things that are most important in each season. And these are the optimal things we could do to make the whole entire company go faster for Workbox Planning Day. And then for the Productive Home Solution Planning Day, it's your company. And that's what we're going to talk about next week. And your company, guess what? You're the CEO. You may be like, I never wanted to be a CEO. Sorry. You are. So you got to do long range planning. Like you're driving the ship. You are driving the ship. So we might as well take ownership of it. We'll talk about that next week.